This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and we've got ourselves a trio of tremendous hours. We've got ourselves a pair of great guests that are going to be joining me, and we've got ourselves all 30 teams in Major League Baseball that are going to be playing on Tuesday. So we're going to be previewing a lot of those games. We certainly have to take a look at the after effects of everything that we saw in the NBA on Sunday. Season's now over, but man, the offseason is going to be oh so fascinating. What happens with the Indiana Pacers with Tyrese Haliburton going down in game number 7? Kevin Durant gets traded away to the Houston Rockets, and that causes some big giant effects. We've got a lot to be able to decipher there, and we're going to get some help with that in 30 minutes as Iggy Gilbert, he does great work over at Fantasy Alarm. He is going to be joining me, was also reliable during the postseason. I believe that he was calling for a 7-game series between the Pacers and the Thunder. That certainly came through, and he always comes through for us, so that's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to be chatting some NBA offseason with him. Might talk a little NBA draft. Obviously, the number one pick, if it's not Cooper Flagg, something has went oh so horribly wrong, but what might be happening for the rest of the NBA draft as well. And then Kyle Hunter, he does a tremendous job over at KyleHunterSportsPicks.com. He's a tremendous handicapper. He's going to be joining me in a little bit over an hour. We're going to be chatting with him a little bit about what he likes on the card for Tuesday. Plenty of MLB to be able to discuss with him. So we're going to have ourselves a good time there. And certainly along the way, we have to talk a little bit of football, because now we are officially in the dog days of summer. We've got a lot of baseball, which fortunately I handicap baseball every single game, every single day. And for those that haven't tuned in, the Baseball Betting Show, that is a part of the VSiN Family Podcast, I've got you held down with every single game, every single day there. So we've got that going on. We've got some WNBA, and we've got a lot of previews for the football season, and I'm going to dive in on who I think is going to be the worst team in football this season, and where you can get some bang for your buck on fewest win total. Now, last year I gave out the New York Giants. Unfortunately, that went into the abyss when they decided to all of a sudden win a game late in the season against the Indianapolis Colts. Nobody will ever know why they decided to win that game against the Indianapolis Colts, but they decided to win that game against the Indianapolis Colts, but pretty solid look. We'll look to do even better for this upcoming season. And looking to do even better is right now some of these teams in Major League Baseball. We've got two games that are currently in progress. And right now for the Washington Nationals, they are really taking it to the old Slam Diego Padres. Currently, this is a count of 6-1. They just put up another run in the fifth inning. We're going into the bottom of the fifth. And for the San Diego Padres, it's been a pretty pedestrian lineup, and I recognize that the Padres have been pretty solid this year. They entered in the night 42-35, but I just have a few concerns with this Padres team in terms of lineup, of all things, because, I mean, the top guys are the top guys. Fernando Tatis Jr., you know what you're going to be able to get out of him. I recognize that Jackson Merrill's been a little bit banged up, but I mean, you've only got three guys on the roster right now that have north of 6 home runs thus far this season. They're going to need to add a bit of a bat when it comes to the trade deadline, when it comes to just everything in general that you're going to be getting with this team. So that's going to be of note, because you can't be continuing to trot out there the likes of Brandon Lockridge. We've seen some Tyler Wade, Jason Hayward when he's been healthy, as he's been injured all season long. The catcher spot has been very much less than savory, so certainly something that I'm looking at for the Padres, because they've really fallen behind, in my opinion. The San Francisco Giants, who I still do believe have value in that NL West. I was giving this out a few weeks ago when it was at 15-1. I still think that you've got some very rock solid value in the wake of the Rafael Devers trade and what we've seen over the last week and a half ever since that trade went down. I still do think that you've got yourself a bunch that can be able to win this division. This bullpen has really been second to none, and looking at this right now, you're still getting a solid 8-1. So this hasn't really moved over the last week or so. I think that that's still very solid value. Recognize that the LA Dodgers themselves are certainly going to be looking to add some pieces at the trade deadline. But I mean, just in general, the attrition, the injuries for the Dodgers with Blake Snell, Roky Sasaki, Blake Treinen out there in the bullpen, I really do feel like it's gotten to them quite a bit. So that I do think is going to be a little bit rough for them. And for the San Diego Padres, they just really fall behind, in my opinion. Currently 19-1 to be able to win the NL West. I think that they're going to be able to make the playoffs, but this entire National League playoff picture, I think, is going to be so interesting. And we do need to talk about this playoff picture. I think that it's this time of year in Major League Baseball where you've got 75, 78 or so games that have been played by these teams. So you're hitting more or less the true midway point of the baseball season. Now, with regards to the All-Star game, it typically happens a little bit over after game number 82 of the season. But I think that you've got a pretty good representative example of what you're going to be able to get out of these teams. And I do think that now is that time that we do address that right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And we do need to address this as well, because it is going to be football season. I'm going to be looking at some of the worst teams in the NFL this season. And well, if you want to bet smarter this season, you do want to dive in on our VSiN Pro subscription right now, because you're able to get an early bird offer that gets you everything through the football season. The NFL betting guide is dropping next week. I've got my picks for every single team that I think is going to make the NFL playoffs in there, by the way. And early access means that you've got a better shot at spotting the value for the futures market before those lines move. And for $175, you get everything that we do here at VSiN all the way through the Super Bowl. That's every sport that we cover. And that includes a lot of college basketball as well, which I'm going to get you guys covered on that. The sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it, and you're going to be first in line for that tremendous NFL betting guide. Additionally, you're going to be able to get a daily best bet email of all of the VSiN shows and guest plays for the entirety of the football season. You get team previews, power rankings, season-long best, and so much more. Real deal betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, and full access to VSiN's analytics, tools, and pro systems. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and lock in the football special right now. $175 for everything that we do through the football season. VSIN.com/subscribe. And that also polishes up the rest of the baseball season, as we need to talk about that right about now, because again, I've been talking about this the last few nights, and for the National League, I think that the playoff picture is very intriguing. Where I'm really looking at is the American League, and I'm really looking at the American League because if you're looking to bet some futures right now, now is the time to pounce if you believe that a team has a little bit of a favorable schedule and is going to be able to rise up. And the reason why I say this is right now, you have got three teams in the entire American League that are more than 3.5 games out of a playoff spot. And I'm not even saying that the team that's 6.5 games out, the Baltimore Orioles, are quite dead yet. It would be unlikely. They're going to need to get some pitching at the deadline. I personally don't think that that's a ticket that I will want any part of, but they have been playing a little bit of better baseball recently. But I just take a look at this entire American League. Like right now, three games out of the final wild card spot are the Texas Rangers and the LA Angels. The Twins are 3.5 games out. Red Sox are one game out. Might become a little bit more right now. They're trailing the LA Angels in this game by a count of 5-4. And that game was 5-3 after the end of the first inning. So if we don't get this over of 9, that'll be an absolute all-timer right there. So that's certainly something that I'm going to be gauging throughout the night. But I mean, the Royals are 2.5 games out. Like, just which teams do you believe, for one, are actually going to go for it this year? That's a big thing. I will go back to this. I referenced it last night, and I'll reference it once again here tonight. Keep in mind that the Atlanta Braves, at the trade deadline, they were about .500 in 2021. They decided to revamp that outfield with Jock Peterson and company. I believe that Eddie Rosario was one of the guys that they picked up as well, and they go from being a team that was .500, sort of mediocre in a winnable division, though, and they go all the way to be able to win the World Series. So that's the power of this, and that was even before we had this extra wild card spot added as well. So I think that there's a lot of intrigue there. Now, there are just some organizations that they typically don't buy. The Cleveland Guardians, I'm going to call you out here, not a team that usually is going to be making some quantum moves or anything like that. Now, the Boston Red Sox, I think, are one of the most intriguing teams on the board, because you trade away Rafael Devers. I can't believe that they are done at Rafael Devers, or I can't believe that they're done at just training Rafael Devers and rolling with the young guys. I think that they're going to be adding someone at the deadline. Who that someone is, what that something is, I have absolutely no idea whatsoever, but they have to be doing something here, or else they're just a bunch of morons. Like, you can't be the Boston Red Sox, make that trade, and then decide, you know what, nah, thanks, we're good. So I do think that that is very intriguing. And if you're looking at just which teams you think are going to be able to make the playoffs in general in terms of the American League, I think that this is just so intriguing, because you've got yes-nos on so many teams. Like right now with the Cleveland Guardians, their yes is a +142. Wouldn't want to take any sort of shot there. Again, it all comes down to, do you think that that team is going to be buying at the deadline or not? Honestly, the team that I think is intriguing, the Kansas City Royals at plus 320, because they did call up Jack Caglione. They did buy in on Carlos Estevez in the offseason. They have no hitting whatsoever. I mean, none. They have trotted out there a few like veteran guys. Like they were trotting out their Hunter Renfroe, Kevon Biggio, throwing their Mark Hanna. None of these guys have been a fit for the team. Maybe they try to bring in a veteran bat, and maybe that gets them going. Again, they're 2.5 games out of first place. Chris with K. Bubich has been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. At some point, you're going to be able to get back as well what you've been able to get out of Skaggs. So I do think that that's going to be big for them as well. So I do think that this is going to be a bunch that is going to be able to get, or I should say Cole Reagans. Cole Reagans is who you're going to be able to get back. So I don't know why I was referencing Skaggs from way back in the day, but that said, you're going to be able to get back a bunch of guys that have been a little bit banged up throughout the season, including Cole Reagans. I think that that's a team that has a little bit of upside as well. And I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays, I really think it's the creme de la creme team. They're -188 to be able to make the playoffs. Obviously, I wouldn't want to lay that sort of juice. I think that they might be live to be able to win that AL East, especially with what we've seen the New York Yankees. And we've got to be talking about that a little bit more. The New York Yankees, they once again lose because the offense is unable to get going against the Cincinnati Reds. They were on to Cincinnati and they were on to a loss. We have to be talking about what we're seeing out there in the American League East, and we need to be keeping ourselves abreast of what is happening in these two late games in Major League Baseball. There's lots to discuss because it is the prime summer months, it is baseball months, and we're going to be talking about that on the flip side right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight as we've got ourselves a little bit that's happening in Major League Baseball. A pair of games. Right now, the Washington Nationals are taking it to the Slam Diego Padres 6-1. That is in the top of the sixth inning. So currently, the Slam Diego Padres are getting slammed. And what has been getting slammed is the ball out there in Los Angeles, though that was mostly in the first inning. Very intriguing what we've been seeing in terms of that game. Right now, 5-4 is the lead for the LA Angels. That game is currently now in the fifth inning. So we have seen things die down a little bit, just got out of the bottom of the fifth inning. So heading to the top of the sixth. Right now, the live total is a 12.5. You could have gotten this well above 15 after the end of that first inning. So we've got a lot of fun that's happening out there. And we'll see if the Red Sox says, I bet them on the money line, I bet the over, if they're able to make a little bit of a rally here. But I was talking about the AL East, and certainly that is on the mind because you've got the Boston Red Sox currently in that division at 16-1, if you look at DraftKings, to be able to win the division. Obviously, shop around for all these numbers because you're going to find a lot more volatility in the futures market rather than on a game-to-game like money line slash spread, what have you. But that said, right now with the Tampa Bay Rays in that AL East over at DraftKings, they're plus 550 to be able to win the division. When I was looking at this about 48 or so hours ago, they were more like plus $5. They lost a game against the Detroit Tigers on Sunday. I recognize that, but I just still think that there's a whole lot of value on teams with really good bullpen pitching. That's why I'm targeting right now the Tampa Bay Rays. That's why I was talking about the San Francisco Giants a little bit earlier and have been talking about the Giants over the last few weeks. There's a big difference between winning the World Series and being able to win the division in 162 games. Now, is there added motivation with the just overall format of the playoffs right now to be able to win these games and to be able to avoid, shall we say, like the opening wild card three-game series? Absolutely, there is. But that said, I do think that for a team like the Tampa Bay Rays, they are built for 162. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, right now, they're a top 10 team in the big leagues in terms of their runs per game. Like, you always know with the Tampa Bay Rays that they're going to have crafty and good bullpen pitching. Like, that is the Tampa Bay Rays MO. These guys come up from like AAA Bull Durham and the Durham Bulls, and they're always really able to give you some good innings. We even saw that from a guy like Ian Seymour, who closed out a game a week or two ago against the Boston Red Sox. But I do think that with the Tampa Bay Rays team, them being able to have Junior Caminero, Brandon Lau, give you all the offense that they do, and the Yankees just don't look right now. Now, are the Yankees going to be able to add at the deadline? Absolutely they are. But we've seen in the past the Tampa Bay Rays make shrewd moves. They're not going to be going out there, and they're not going to be trading for some guy that's going to cost them $100 million or anything like that. But even go back a few years ago when they added something like a Nelson Cruz. Like, I mean, getting a guy like a Nelson Cruz at the trade deadline at the time was a deal. I'm not going to call it a massive deal, but it was a deal. And I do think that the Tampa Bay Rays might be willing to do that this year, because the one glaring weakness I find is that this is a top-heavy lineup. You've got the guys like Brandon Lau. Yandy Diaz has been as hot as lava, by the way, recently. If you've been like betting the Yandy Diaz player props, if you've got him in fantasy, what have you, you're feeling really, really good about Yandy Diaz right now. But I mean, these top guys have been able to do a very rock solid job. And then you get into the likes of Taylor Walls, the entirety of the catcher spot, that's been a little bit hit or miss. I would not be surprised at all if they do add a piece like two at the trade deadline. And keep in mind, Shane McClanahan has not pitched at all this season. They still have a few other pitchers that are currently on the injured list, like Hunter Biggie of that bullpen went down early on during the season. So, I mean, this is a team that's going to get even more fortified during the season. Now, for the New York Yankees, they were able to get back Giancarlo Stanton, but I mean, they've got now with Luke Weaver back in the fold, pretty much their regular guys, and they just feel a little bit lost right now. I don't know what it is. And do I think that they're going to be able to pick it up a little bit more? Absolutely. Even though they have scored four runs or fewer in, I believe now, 9 out of their last 10 games, that's a little bit concerning. You know that this is a New York Yankees team that at some point it's going to be able to bust out. You still have a guy by the name of Aaron Judge, which wasn't on him that the New York Yankees didn't score runs on Monday. They got a home run out of him, and they really didn't get anything else on offense. And you do have to wonder about some of these younger guys, like Ben Rice, if he's coming back to earth a little bit. Trent Grisham, prior to this year, he had been doing a nothing burger for the last few years. Cody Bellinger has been inconsistent over the last few years, ever since he was in really, really good form with the LA Dodgers. So I do think that there are some fair question marks to be asking here. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, this has been a unit that's just been able to do a really good job in general with their bullpen madness. And I do think that there's a lot of value on that front, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Eubes Peterson, right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And certainly there's a lot of value with this Edge Boost, because it is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring that all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums, earn cash back rewards, 100% approval on all betting deposits. Sign up today over at edgeboost.bet and utilize the promo code of CASH, C-A-S-H. When you deposit $25, Edge Boost, they will match that deposit. That's over at edgeboost.bet, promo code CASH. And we did see out there in Los Angeles, the Boston Red Sox be able to tie it, and that would have been one of the most hilarious beats slash pushes of all time, because I mean, the closing total on this game in a lot of places was 9. You had 8 runs put up in the first inning, and you were sitting on 8 runs for quite a while, but there was a home run, so ding dong, the witch is dead. You are going to be able to get this over. And I mean, for myself, I am personally sweating out the Boston Red Sox money line right now, so that was a very pleasant sight as being able to go deep. It was story time. Trevor Story is 11th home run of the season, and I do think that this Boston Red Sox team, even though I don't think that there's a lot of value for them to be able to win the AL East, again, such an interesting team. If you're looking at their yes-no to be able to make the playoffs, that's one that I think is a very big fascination, because I do think that they're going to be buying at the deadline. I do not think that they are going to be a team that sits on their hands. I mean, they're right there with the Toronto Blue Jays in terms of a yes-no to be able to make the playoffs. Like, right now I'm seeing in some places with the Blue Jays, they're about minus 114 to the yes. That's a team that I'm looking to fade a little bit more. For the Toronto Blue Jays, the fact that they lose that series against the Chicago White Sox at home, yikes. Like, the no for them to make the playoffs right now is minus 106. They're going to be getting back Max Scherzer, but what are you going to be able to get out of 40-year-old Max Scherzer, who's throwing like 2 or 3 innings thus far this season? That's a little bit bearish, and they don't have any power. Like, are they going to go out and get a power bat at the trade deadline? Like, right now, you've got nobody with north of 11 home runs on the team. Dalton Varsho, for the longest of time, was leading the team in home runs, and he has missed like 30-plus games thus far this season, and he's back on the injured list. Now, Vlad Guerrero Jr., we all know what he's capable of, having a rough year from the power perspective. He's still moving the line, getting on base, but I'm really just not a really too much of a believer in this team. There's a lot of teams out there in the American League in general that I'm feeling very meh about. I know that the Minnesota Twins have now fallen to 3.5 games out of that final wild card spot and not feeling good about them. Not feeling good about them at all. Lost 9 out of their last 10 games, and they got super hot for a stretch, and you have to wonder if that was just a 2 to 3 week flash in the pan with them. So I do have some serious question marks with them. And then again, the San Diego Padres team, not necessarily a team I'm feeling overly bullish on. Right now, getting it taken to them by the Washington Nationals by a count of 6-1. Mitchell Parker is still out there, and he's still dealing for this team. So, I mean, that's interesting to take a look at. I was talking about the San Francisco Giants to be able to win the National League West. Right now, I'm seeing their yes, no, and this is on FanDuel, for them to make the playoffs and always shop around for these, minus 164. Now, am I Jones in a lay of minus 164 future? No. This feels like a team that they should very much be able to make the playoffs, because when it comes to the National League picture in terms of things as well, certainly it's a little bit more spread out, and you got one team that's very demonstratively out of the playoffs. I'm looking at you, the Colorado Rockies, which it is so hilarious when you take a look at just all the playoff prognostications, what have you. They're 24.5 games out of the final wild card spot in the National League, and they've won 18 games. They are 6.5 games further out of the final wildcard spot than they have wins. So I don't think that that's going to be happening for you. And then it's just a big, giant, jumbled up mess. Because right now with the Giants, they're in that 2-spot game half clear of the teams that are currently number 3. You got the Padres, the Brewers, and the Cardinals there. Let me tell you, a team that I have no faith in whatsoever in terms of being able to get a playoff spot. I hate to say it, I'm from the great state of Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Brewers. They lose today against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I've never seen a split like I have seen for the Milwaukee Brewers, and I'll be diving in on this a little bit later. The Brewers are right now averaging 3.6 runs per game at home and 5.6 runs per game away from home. They lose to the Pittsburgh Pirates in what was essentially a bullpen game, with Braxton Ashcraft being the opener for 3 innings by a count of 5-4. I've never seen anything more mind-numbing in my life. And sometimes there are just splits that make no sense whatsoever. You want textbook exhibit A of something that makes no sense whatsoever. Like, I've been to plenty of games out there in America Family Field. I mean, it's a nice, pleasant environment, what have you. It used to be called Miller Park when I used to go there, and it's still Miller Park to me, gosh darn it. But I mean, if you look at ballpark factors, it's about as neutral of a ballpark as you're going to get. It's not necessarily pitcher-friendly. It's not necessarily hitter-friendly. And somehow, some way, they're averaging 2 more runs per game away from home rather than at home. Like, it's puzzling. Very, very puzzling, to say the least. And I think that this bunch that really doesn't generate a lot of hard contact, a bunch that has been down with regards to their bullpen, I think that they're going to have a rough time in the National League going against the Padres, the Giants, the Mets, the Cincinnati Reds even. The Arizona Diamondbacks are starting to surge. The Braves might be able to surge as well. And Brewers, typically not buyers at the trade deadline. What we are buying in on is the fact that Iggy Gilbert is coming up next. He does great work over at Fantasy Alarm. We're taking a look at this NBA offseason with him next on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line, as we've got Iggy Gilbert aboard. He does great work as the main fantasy analyst over at Fantasy Alarm. He's been joining me so much throughout this NBA season, and now that we've got to the offseason, we've got a lot to talk about with Iggy, especially with what happened on Sunday. And Iggy, it's great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Hey, Greg, always great to be here with you, and thanks for having me. And yeah, bittersweet, but not really much rest for the wicked as we got the draft coming. So NBA never stops.
Nope. And as we know, free agency has become its own season as well. And there are some people that just get more invested in what we see in the offseason moves than the season itself from time to time, because you get all the musical chairs, you get all the unexpected moves, and people getting paid a whole lot of money. So it's always a lot of fun there. And how about a first things first? We do take a look at what we did get in the finals, because I know that when you joined me prior to the finals, you were calling for this to go 7 games. It does. And very unfortunate what happens in the first quarter to Tyrese Halliburton. But how did you just take a look at that entire game 7 and just what the Thunder were able to accomplish in getting this title?
Yeah, you know, kudos to the Thunder, kudos to the Pacers. Both fan bases should feel really great about their teams making it back to the finals for the Pacers, winning it for the Thunder. It's the second year in a row we've had the preseason favorite to win. Boston won it last year with ease. OKC, I don't think they won it with ease per se, but they did win it, you know, 1-2 game sevens. SGA, the first, what I'm calling a triple crown, and a regular season MVP, conference MVP, and finals MVP ever. He did what he was supposed to do as the leader of that team. They're so young, they're not going to go anywhere. That's the sad part. The Northwest Division, I know we don't talk a lot of the divisions in the NBA, Greg, but it still matters. You play those teams more than you do other teams, obviously. OKC, Minnesota, Portland, Utah's going to get better through the draft. We're going to talk about that soon with the Angie coming over and taking over the roster decisions, I should say. And, the Pacers, what a run, man. I think the Pacers might be remembered more than the Thunder, especially with what happened with Halliburton. Those magical Madison Square Garden games, you know, we talked before game one against Indiana and New York and talked about how thrilling that series could possibly be. And I think that's a series that will probably be talked about 25, 30 years from now, particularly from those two fan bases. So just a great NBA season. I know overall some ratings were down. I saw game seven was like the highest rating of this decade, I believe, for a finals game. So they gave us everything they were supposed to in entertainment. And I'm just really fortunate to watch it. And the Thunder aren't going anywhere. The Pacers are going to have to deal with a massive injury next year. We'll see, you know, how the hangover looms on both of them.
Yep, no question about it. And you talk about it, the Thunder, very, very demonstrative favorites in a lot of places, right around about +220 to +240 to be able to win the title. Is there anyone that you'd be looking at a little bit further down the board, especially now that the Rockets in a lot of places are that number two option in the West with acquiring Kevin Durant? And that went a little bit under the radar on Sunday, but no doubt a big move for the Rockets.
Yeah, you know, Dylan Brooks is, you know, he's not going to be easy to replace defensively. He's very underrated from a defensive standpoint, Greg, which Houston was able to hang their hat on. So we'll see how, you know, the NBA shifts into where you have to have a perimeter defensive player. What happened when Kentavious Caldwell-Pope left Los Angeles? They haven't been able to advance. What happened when Denver lost Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? They had issues, you know. Now for Orlando, you can see them right there. I don't guess they're listed 18-1 for Denver. I'm always going to have some kind of future on there, Greg, but just being honest, that's a bias from me. I think the Knicks are overly inflated. I'm not sure that Boston, Indiana, or New York Knicks are going to make it to the conference finals next year. Two of them due to injuries. One of them because it was like a awkward breakup when everything was going well. You know, it's almost like we got the engagement ring with the extension to Tom Thibodeau, then all of a sudden, whoops, take it all back. So I don't think New York is going to do that well at all. I think they were extremely lucky, and a lot of their success was due to their head coach. Minnesota is going to have to make a move, I think, to see what will take place. And then Cleveland, I think if Cleveland wouldn't have played Indiana, they might have had a chance to win this whole thing. So, Indiana was kind of their kryptonite in the regular season and proved to be their kryptonite in the playoffs. But I do like Orlando. I think the Bane move is it was a little criticized, and I'm not saying they didn't give up a lot, but man, the Eastern Conference is as wide open as it's been since maybe pre-LeBron James era, Greg. And Orlando very much recognized that, went after a player, sticking with the division themes, the Southeast Division's not that great. So I think there's an opportunity for Orlando to come in, and you could at least probably cash out with them in the playoffs and get good ROI or return on investment for placing some money on the Magic at 18-1.
Yep, and the Desmond Bane trade, as you were alluding to a little bit before, that's big for them. Shows that they are going all in, and they were able to address a need that they very much needed this offseason, as Iggy Gilbert, he does great work over at Fantasy Alarm, joining me right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And now the main thing that we're able to bet on in the NBA right now, which you can bet on the finals and who's going to be able to win the title next season, but you're going to have your money tied up for a full 365 days. This is a little bit more immediate. The NBA draft, it comes our way on Wednesday, so 48 hours from now, and just how do you take a look at this NBA draft, where I don't know if there's a lot of value in terms of the number one overall pick. I guess if you want to get a penny for every $2 that you put down on Cooper Flagg, it's about as much of a sure bet as you're going to get. But that said, after Cooper Flagg, is there anything that you're taking a look at that might have some value in terms of betting for the NBA draft?
Well, before the show, we were talking about the Rutgers players, and right now, Ace Bailey, he's a big question mark. He didn't go... possibly allow some teams to kind of look at him and possibly go join them. With, you know, I can understand some franchises you kind of want nothing to be a part of, but at the same time, it's a real blessing to be able to make it to the NBA draft and be a top 10 pick. So, you know, we know what Dallas is doing, San Antonio, how, you know, the franchise just keeps getting lucky with back-to-back rookies of the year. There's a good chance, you know, they're going to take Harper with the second pick and just keep bolstering around Victor Wembanyama. I'm not so sure that Giannis doesn't make a move there as well. You know, I don't think he would go too many other places. I think he probably wants to finish out in Wisconsin, but, you know, being able to go to the Spurs and, you know, the best franchise since 1999, that would be difficult to turn away. So maybe a move happens there. But when you start looking at Bailey, I don't, like Philadelphia, I don't know that they need him there. Charlotte, you know, LaMelo Ball already there. Utah could use him. You know, they have Colin Sexton, they have players, but is that who they want to build their team around? I mean, are they just in a complete rebuild mode other than maybe Kessler or their center position? We'll have to see what happens there. But I'm looking at Bailey. It's a little juice, negative 175 to be in the top five. But, you know, 2-for-1 odds there. He's widely considered a top four player in this draft prospect. So I think there's some potential there if you don't mind some heavy juice. Otherwise, I kind of think we're looking at chalk. You know, like we talked about, his odds are, you know, more or less ridiculous. Harper comes in at negative 9,000 for the second pick. VJ Edgecombe, negative 300 as well. I believe the kid from Baylor, you know, down in Waco. We'll have to see how that goes. And then we talked about Trey Johnson. I think a team that really needs a good guard, you know, scoring guard that can maybe come in and make an impact immediately. You know, Big 12 basketball, that's why I give Edgecombe and Johnson. I think it's the closest, no disrespect to the Big East or out there. The most NBA-ready players can kind of come from that system in Kansas and in Texas and in Baylor and so forth. So I look for those guys to make an impact as well, Greg. So like I said, Bailey, also top five pick if you think he's going to go, instead of dropping down to maybe some of those six or seven teams. There's some potential there as well.
Yep, I do think that both of those Rutgers guys are going to go in the top five. I still don't know how Rutgers went sub-500 in the Big Ten with having two of the top five picks in the draft. Like, that is just still absolutely mind-numbing to me. Shows the amount of absolute nothing that they had around them. But you know what? They got two top five guys in the draft. So that's interesting to say, Lisa. Is there anyone maybe in terms of like a top 10 to be a first-round pick that you might be taking a look at that might have a little bit of plus money as a bit more of a long shot there?
Yeah, let's see. I had this prepared. You know, somebody's going to need a center. I think the game is kind of revolving back to a big man importance, you know, although Miles Turner and Isaiah Hartenstein may have not made a case for that. But yeah, we talked about Mulach earlier. Where is he at? He's plus 370 to be a top five. And then for top 10 right here, let me see, pull up all of them. He's not really making it even there. So, I mean, he'll probably get picked out of there. There's also the Frenchman under this, Jean Péringer. Maybe he can sneak inside the top 10 as well. You know, some of these prospects coming out of the NBA Europe and other European leagues can kind of make a jump depending on how the team. But, you know, Greg, as I discussed, Brooklyn Nets have four first round picks, and then there was seven teams with two first round picks. Maybe a team kind of bundles up something and moves up and grabs one of these big men, you know, which there's not too many of. There's plenty of guards available on the top end of this draft. But maybe a team recognizes a center, kind of like Denver did with Daron Holmes, traded up to go get him. And we might get a center that comes out of this list, whether it's like we talked about the Frenchman, whether it's as well as Derek Queen out of Maryland could sneak up into the top 10 if somebody finds some value in him as well. So I think it would be a big man that would surprise us to come into the top 10.
And that big man could be Cal Murray Boyles out of South Carolina, plus 275. Really liked his game. Somehow, someway, he got South Carolina to the NCAA tournament 2 years ago. And we don't see South Carolina in the NCAA tournament too much, but a man that we always see doing a great job breaking down the great game of basketball. Thank you, Iggy. Always do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Hey, Greg, always a pleasure to be here with you, and take care.
Absolutely. Iggy does a great job of being able to break down this great game of basketball. But coming next, we have to go from the hardwood to the diamond. Lots of baseball on Tuesday to break down. We'll do it next on Cashin' Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashin' Out here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The great Mike Tyson once said, you always have a plan until you get punched in the mouth. This segment got punched in the mouth right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, because we were talking to Iggy Gilbert in the last segment. He does a great job over at Fantasy Alarm taking a look at the great game of basketball. I thought, all right, now we're going to turn it forward, talk about some Tuesday baseball, what have you. And then from out of nowhere, we get a Shams Wow. And if you're wondering what a Shams Wow is, we used to get Woj Bombs. Adrian Wojnarowski, now doing great work over at St. Bonaventure, he passes on the torch to Shams. So that's why you get Shams Wows whenever you get interesting trades and signings that happen in the NBA. So I want to coin that one, by the way. But that said, Anfernee Simons is now heading on over to the Boston Celtics. Jrue Holiday, he goes from the Celtics to the Portland Trail Blazers. And for the Boston Celtics, they get Simons and 2 second-round picks. Very, very curious move, to say the least, from the Boston Celtics, because obviously you have the Chase and Tatum injury that happens this postseason. And for Jrue Holiday, he is very much up there in years. Like, was such a rock-solid piece when the Bucks were able to win the NBA title. He was such a rock-solid piece as well for the Boston Celtics in these last 2 years as well. But guy is now 35 years old, perhaps a little bit on the back half of his career. And now for the Boston Celtics, you're going younger, and you're going with a guy that's able to, let's call it what it is, score a little bit more for Simons. Is he going to be the same defensive stopper that Jrue Holiday was? No, and we saw the Milwaukee Bucks very, very much paid dearly, in my opinion, for not retaining Jrue Holiday. But I mean, this is such a curious move in general. Now, for Simons, he was on a bunch in the Portland Trail Blazers where they just needed someone to toss it up. He had some very inefficient games over the last few seasons in general, but I mean, he's a guy that for his career is still about a 38% three-point shooter. You're going to need to replace that scoring without Jason Tatum, and this is a guy that you're able to build with moving forward. We shall see if there's going to be any sort of movement with regards to the futures odds, because at last check, I was seeing the Boston Celtics right around 18-1. I might have been a little bit mistaken there. Currently, they're at 19-1. Not a lot of movement there. And for the Portland Trail Blazers, well, they're not going to be moving too much in general. Right now, there's 700-1 to be able to win the NBA title. If you think that the Portland Trail Blazers are going to win the NBA title, you might want to also bet on me to become the next Prince of Wales. Don't think that is going to be happening. So there's that aspect of things. But for the Boston Celtics, they do make a big move. They're going to be bringing in Anfernee Simons. And we'll see if there's any movement on some of these other books as well. Because right now, I am seeing in terms of the Eastern Conference winner, the Boston Celtics more around plus 470. So that's a little bit curious. I'm seeing at another book, the Celtics did move to 14-1. Obviously, shop around accordingly as this trade happened 7-8 minutes ago. So this is very, very recent, and do have to think that there are a few books that have yet to adjust their odds. But do you think that that's a big impact move, and do you think that's good for the Boston Celtics overall and for the Trailblazers? They are in deep rebuild mode. Very deep rebuild mode out there in the West, where it's probably not going to be winnable for quite a while with that team by the name of the Oklahoma City Thunder out there. I believe that they're in the same division as the Oklahoma City Thunder, so that's going to be rough for them. What else is rough is if you had the Boston Red Sox and you saw the bases loaded and they came up empty. I am currently on the Boston Red Sox. Was hoping that they'd be able to cash in there, and Trevor Story, it was story time for him to leave the bases loaded. So that's not great, to say the least. That game right now for this Monday is 5-5. Currently, that game is going to be heading to the top of the eighth inning, so we'll see what happens on that front. Other game that's going down, going into the top of the eighth, it is the Slam Diego Padres, currently down to the Washington Nationals by a count of 6-3. So we'll be monitoring those two games and seeing which tickets all cash. But how about if we do turn it forward now to what we're going to be getting on this Tuesday in Major League Baseball? And we will start with this Washington Nationals versus San Diego Padres game. This is 959, 960 on the card, as it is going to be Trevor Williams who's going to be on the bump for the Washington Nationals. And there was a little bit of TBD for a bit of time for the San Diego Padres, but it does look like indeed it's going to be Ryan Burgert who's going to be getting the start for them. And Mr. Burgert is between minus 156 to minus 169 on the money line, about plus 138 plus 145 is that number on the Nats. And total on this game in most places is a very heavily juiced 8.5. I'm seeing one or two straight nines out there as well. And for the Nationals, a close on this game tonight, here more on about plus 150, plus 160. I would have to think that the money, once again, is probably going to be coming in on the San Diego Padres. And I know that the San Diego Padres team has been a little bit less than savory in terms of their offense, and that's a big reason why I like the under. But I mean, the San Diego Padres pitching is no joke right now. This team, if you look at their bullpen ERA, they've been one of the top teams in all baseball. Enter into the day on Monday, number four with regards to that bullpen ERA, tied with the Tampa Bay Rays for number four. And you just have so many guys that are able to mix and match with right now for the Padres, because they did fall down so big in this game. They were at one point down by a count of 6-1. They probably aren't going to be throwing out there a lot of their more trustworthy guys. Right now, they've got David Morgan in the game, who's actually been rock solid. But I mean, when you take a look at these guys like Jeremiah Estrada, Robert Garcia, Yuki Matsui, Audrey Morajon, they've been pretty rock solid now. Do recognize that Estrada now is about a 3.75 ERA. He's been acting up, and you did see Peralta, or you did see Robert Suarez blow a pair of games over the last 12 days as well. So a little bit of concern there, but this is still a pretty rock solid bullpen going against a Washington Nationals team that they're now looking at some of these younger guys to be able to give you something. Like a Daylen Lyle is a guy that they brought up to the big league level. House is a guy that they brought up as well. You're getting great production out of James Wood. He's giving you good Wood, 20 plus home runs, north of a 360 on base. But I mean, when it comes to a guy that's a power bat for them in Josh Bell, hitting below the below sign of 200, they're a little bit of an all or nothing team. They've been striking out a little bit more this season. And for the Padres, you still do have a trio of guys that would be able to give you 10 plus home runs, even though this team is in the bottom seven with regards to home runs on a per at bat basis. Part of this is because Petco Park, by the way, is such a pitcher friendly ballpark, but you've gotten that out of Fernando Tatis Jr., Gavin Sheets, along with as well Manny Machado. And Machado's been great at getting on base, hitting for north of 300. Tatis Jr. has seen his on base percentage go up a little bit as well. Big issue that you've got is the fact that you do have just some of these guys out there in the outfield. When you throw out their Tyler Wade, Brian Lockridge and company, that aren't giving you a whole lot of flop. But for Burgert, he has made 8 total appearances, 4 starts, 1.88 ERA. Now, he's not some sort of strikeout artist. He's getting fewer than 8 strikeouts for 9 innings, but he's doing a good job pitching to the ballpark, being able to induce soft contact. I think that he's going to do so here against the Nationals. And for Trevor Williams, should see a bit of positivity here. North of a 5.5 ERA, 5.56 to be exact, fielding independent, darn near 2 points lower than that. He's only giving up 1 home run, 2.3 walks for 9 innings. So I actually think that he gives you a presentable start. The big issue that you have with the Nationals, dead last in the National League in terms of ERA. Like, man, these guys like Zach Brzezinski, Jackson Rutledge, man. Other than Kyle Finnegan and perhaps Andrew Chafin, you just don't have any sort of trustworthiness whatsoever out of this bullpen. I do think that as a result, Padres are able to get the job done. I felt like they should have been more like a minus $2 favorite in this game. So I'm going to be willing to lay the run line. You're going to be able to get that north of a plus 125. I was willing to go up to a minus 109. So I'm in on that Slam Diego Padres run line. Semi-total at an 8.2. I'm a big believer in Mr. Burgert, and I do believe that Williams experiences positivity as well. So I like the under, and I do like the run line here of the San Diego Padres. What else I like is that ProfitX, they are very much embracing that it is now baseball season, and they are offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange that's available in 40-plus states, and it is the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make all of your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than the sports books, and that guarantees you the best odds by an average about 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with the promo code of VSIN, V-S-I-N. That'll earn you up to 200 in profit cash over your first month. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Right now, in terms of that Red Sox versus LA Angels game, that is a game that is currently tied up 5-5 in the eighth inning, top of the eighth. So we shall see what happens there, but we shall also see what happens with the game that we're going to be seeing on Tuesday, as you've got yourself a lower total in this game because you've got a man by the name of Garrett Crochet who's going to be on the bump in this one, 973-974. Tyler Anderson goes for the Halos, and Crochet is on the bump for the Red Sox. Total on this game is 8, shaded down to the under. Red Sox in that neighborhood of minus 188 to minus $2 favorites. Yeah, we get about plus 168 to plus 170 on the LA Angels. And for the LA Angels, plus 170 is actually my buy point on them. If you're looking to lay a run F with the Red Sox, you're finding that at a minus 110. And I would be willing to buy in on the Red Sox run line as well. If I had to choose between the LA Angels at a plus 170 and the Red Sox at a minus 110, I'm going with minus 110 of the Red Sox because I might be the biggest Tyler Anderson hater in the world, even though I love the fact that he's from this great state of Nevada and from Oregon, which I have some affinity for. this guy has been doing for regression for years. Like, he was as lucky as all heck when he had that massive season with the Dodgers. He was as lucky as all heck all season. And now the regression monster has come and eaten Tyler Anderson whole. 3+ runs allowed in each of his last 4 starts. 1.7 home runs allowed per 9 innings. 3.5 walks allowed per 9 innings. Recognize that the Red Sox no longer have Rafael Devers, but you've got Trevor Story, who's got a home run tonight. It looks like he's finally deciding to do something. These mix and match guys like Rami Gonzalez and company, Rob Refsnyder, they're starting to move line. So I do like this spot for the Red Sox. And this time I tell it 8.1. I think that they get to Anderson. I'll be in on the over as well. And coming up next, how about if we preview some Tuesday baseball right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.